This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Things are changing. Things are going to have to change.
Yes.
The pandemic changed things, accelerated things. I mean, you know, I was having a conversation yesterday. You know, they don't have staff meetings anymore in person. They just do the Zoom meetings, even though they don't have to, because it's just more convenient. You know, somebody's there sitting out on their patio and another person's cooking, you know, dinner. You know, they can have their staff meeting. Things are going to change. I worry about the healthcare field being this gigantic, you know, war vessel that can't turn on a dime and refuses to turn on a dime. When and will this absolutely force change?
It has to force change, and it's painful, and it's hard for professionals to rethink their work. But we're seeing it absolutely in mental health care. You know, I saw some data just this week that there is one mental health professional in Macon County for every 650 residents.
Yes.
And so you cannot have enough access in a non-traditional model. The best way to improve access is to do things digitally and connect people telephonically and to access resources outside of our own community. That was not something the mental health professionals themselves even would consider pre-pandemic. They would have told you it's not effective or there's no way.
Let me ask you a generic question.
Sure.
Which I'm going to ask you. I don't want to offend anyone or place a finger of blame, just institutionally, as generic as I can make this. People want to make money, and the government will then reimburse money based on very antiquated, outdated sort of things. You know, how much of this is, you know, a silo mentality of this is the way we make the most money versus this is the way we serve the most people in general?
In general, systems of care are typically designed by healthcare organizations to maximize reimbursement. It is the business model, and it's not negative. It's how do we make the money so we can support the business so we can provide the care. It's sort of this model. That's kind of the nice thing about organizations like health centers, like what Crossing is because we are charged to assess the needs and then build the care delivery models.
And I'm a capitalist. I'm not knocking it, but I think that institutionalized way of thinking keeps you from getting better, because it's just we've always done it this way. This is the way we have to do it. And I realize that there are areas within a hospital, within a doctor's organization, you know, that the profit here pays for what there isn't profit. I get that it's a moving chessboard, right? Having said all that. But I read a recent report, you know, that really sort of cemented for me what I kind of knew firsthand with family going through was out there, meaning that even if you want to get help, it is almost impossible to get, and you certainly can't get it anytime soon, when things could be very, very time precious.
Correct.
And then that does not stack up to me with not wanting to do more telehealth or something through a tablet if you could get to people quicker and faster and more of them. Why are we still doing this old model?
You know, you're absolutely correct. And I think that it is going to take redesigning reimbursement structures, which the federal government is doing as a result of this pandemic. Many good things are happening as a result, just not quick enough because of the bureaucracy of government and, to your point, the size of healthcare organizations. It will be slow, but thankfully the train has left the station and we can't go back. We have to continue to progress just the way every other business has progressed.
I referenced a column by Scott Galloway earlier to Nick about the whole Best Buy comparison. You know, if you just took a department store, any store, you know, and if your experience at that store was to go in and sit for an hour and a half before someone helped you, even though you had an appointment, and they handed you a clipboard to fill out the same form you have to fill out every time you go, there's not a retail establishment on earth that would survive that.
You are correct.
But that is healthcare.
You are correct. And it is why we, within our industry, are challenging ourselves and one another to rethink what we're doing. And it's interesting because there are so many amazing minds within healthcare that will imagine, reimagine, and redesign healthcare, and then they hit the brick wall of but reimbursement. And so it's going to take, you know, a partnership between the healthcare delivery system and the infrastructure and payers in order to march down that path.
Right.
And, you know, that's always tough to moderate.
I don't know that there's a right answer. I know
it's tough.
It reminds me a lot of sort of public education.
Yes.
In that, like, they keep changing the rules about how they reward you. And so teachers aren't teaching to the teaching, they're teaching to the test.
Yep.
And then the whole strategy, and not through anyone's fault, it's not malicious, it's not meant to do harm, mm-hmm. it just sort of becomes institutionalized.
You're absolutely correct. And then that's when you start to see different business models, like we saw the concierge practices develop. And those are great for people who have the resources to do that. But those models sort of have evolved out of healthcare because of the of just what you described, that clipboard and nobody knowing my story, mm-hmm. And having to repeat myself over and over again, and then not having the access to the care when I need it. And yeah. that is exactly what we need in healthcare. And we will be charged to fix that. And this pandemic has taken us down the path.
Good. I hope that's mm-hmm. the case. How do you stay clinical but stay human?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I think that connecting with people as often as you can as a clinician and not, you know.
Well, see, you're a nurse, and this yeah. is the interesting thing, because nurses are very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else in the health profession is not. You know, the front window lady, the worst. doctors, you know, they got the distance thing, you know, the bedside manner. We talk about that all day long.
Right.
Nurses get it.
Yeah.
Nurses, I mean, just as a category.
Do. Yes. Nurses typically do. It is in the Gallup polls for as long as I've been a nurse. Nurses have been the most highly trusted profession. And it's because I believe that nurses just connect on a human level most of the time.
But they're able to sort of do that and eat the grief. But give the care. I mean, you could make the argument to me all day long, and it makes sense that, like, you got to have a detachment, because otherwise there's sure. no way you can do this job. I think that sure. about cops, whatever it might be. You see too much mm-hmm. that if you live and die with every one of those moments, mm-hmm. you're burned out, you know, in 10 years.
Correct.
But nurses are the front line. They mm-hmm. see every bit of it, way more than anybody else.
You are correct. But I believe it's both and. I believe that you can, you know, connect as you need to connect. When you need to connect, and you can remain level-headed, not emotional, science-based, and clear-minded at the same time. I don't believe it has to be a one or the other. I think that, you know, wisdom is trying to figure out that balance,
yeah.
and that's through experience, and that's
well,
why
I'm just telling you, I'm a huge fan, because by and large, now, look, I just read a story of a nurse who went down the mm-hmm. whole QAnon rabbit hole, left behind yep. two 10-year-old twins, died of COVID. So, I mean, that's not universal, but it's there. Why is it that in healthcare, and this is going to offend people, and this is in general, that front desk, you know, that main first impression, right? I know they see a lot of it. They get a lot of grief. They get a lot of, but man, you talk about clipboard mentality yes. of you're just a number, right? I mean, I, and that's fine if you've got a swollen ankle.
Correct.
When you're going through a mental crisis.
It's tough.
Why don't we care more about that first impression?
You know, I think that, you know, good organizations do care about that first impression. And I think we're always trying to really instill compassion and care into every member of a team. And it takes a lot of conversations, a lot of support. There was the whole notion of scripting, and that came from Disney, you'll remember. And mm-hmm. that only got you so far. I think the truth is,
I had a scripted call with a contact tracer last week. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. So I think that it's really, I think we're all still trying to figure out the secret sauce to that one.
Yeah.
But when you do find
by the way,
the right
that
person,
that goes beyond mm-hmm. the medical conversation.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's true of everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like one of the first areas that people cut. And I mm-hmm. don't understand it at all. Even our own company. I just, you get one chance at a first impression, right?
Right.
And why not have that be the best of what your company has to offer, instead of treating it like, I just think you get, you know, okay, I've heard this complaint, I've heard that. I get it. It's mm-hmm. not an easy job. There's a young lady at the Y, MCA, who is just fantastic and is never a downbeat, and there's always a big smile, and there's always this welcoming thing. And I just got to tell you, it matters.
It does matter.
And that's just going to a gym.
You're right. There is one plaque in our lobby, and it's the face of Ethel Works, who more than 25 years was our front registration person at Chick Clinic in all the old locations, and then she finally retired from Crossing. And I think she did more from a therapeutic standpoint for many of our patients than many of their clinicians did. And
right.
that's why her plaque is on the wall.
No, it should. And
absolutely.
Their name should be on a building. I'm mm-hmm. telling you go to a hospital or you go to Crossing, you're in a state of anxiety.
Absolutely.
No one's going there because they want to.
No.
I mean, other than the employees. You're in either your in a health crisis or a loved one is mm-hmm. in a health crisis. Mm-hmm. And that first initial contact is sets the tone for everything.
It does. It's why COVID's been hard, because now initial contact is I need to get your temperature and, you know, have you had these symptoms? And it just feels, I hate it. I don't like
But there's a way that you can
right
even
now.
Do that, though, yeah. that is not so treat you like a number.
Correct. You're absolutely correct.
I think the worst invention ever were those little deli numbers. You know what I mean? Like, where, and you can still go to stores, you know, occasionally and still see that. And mm-hmm. I'm number 79. And it's a metaphor for, you know, the way it says something.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
I'm not Brian. I'm 79.
It's why I used to love the photographer that took our school pictures that came up with a cute little name for everybody instead of Next.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely do. Next.
Made it joyful.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Hi, this is Matt Beck. Safety and security have become more important for our local businesses. Decatur-based BeckTech has options and solutions to help your business, no matter how large or small. From churches, corporate offices, schools, all local businesses, BeckTech understands the need for safety and security. When people, property, and workers are safe, focus can remain on missions, purposes, and objectives. Call BeckTech at 217-428-7000 to schedule your needs analysis with one of our professionals. BeckTech, a Barbeck company.
Anxiety. There's plenty of it to go around for just about everyone these days. But the question is, how are you dealing with it? Anxiety can make things difficult. If you find yourself reaching for drugs or alcohol as the solution, chances are your anxiety has gotten out of control. It's time to pick up the phone and call Gateway Foundation. You'll talk with someone who holds the strictest confidentiality so that you can open up and learn about treatment options. Our team of professional counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, and physicians have a long history of helping people like you get back on track. During the healing process, you'll find that there is nothing to be ashamed of. Calling Gateway Foundation is that important first step towards getting away from the self-medication of alcohol and other substances and on the road towards safe, rewarding, and sustainable recovery. Call Gateway Foundation at 877-505-HOPE for a free, private, confidential screening. Gateway Foundation, addiction medicine saving lives.
You know Bob Brady is Decatur's favorite place to buy a car, but did you know Brady's also Decatur's best place to sell your car?
Brady's buying.
You have a car you've been meaning to sell? We get it. You don't want to run an ad, take the calls, put up with endless test drives, haggling, and ultimately, you've got a bunch of paperwork to deal with when you sell it yourself.
Let Brady buy it.
It's easy. All you have to do is bring it in. With most vehicles, we can make an offer your first visit. Bring your title or loan papers and get ready to get paid. We do the paperwork.
Even if you don't buy one of ours, we'll buy yours.
You'll get true NADA book values and top dollar for all types of vehicles. Not running? No problem. We bid non-working vehicles too. Don't let it sit there in your garage or driveway. Get rid of the headache. Ditch the eyesore. Stop draining your bank account with license and insurance payments. Sell it to Bob Brady today.
At both locations.
The Bob Brady Auto Mall, just off I-72 at exit 144 in Decatur, or Bob Brady Cadillac Buick GMC at exit 141 in Forsyth.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday. Good morning. Is that Jackson Brown? Man, you're right in the wheelhouse of time here, and he's really connected with the Eagles. Glenn Frey literally lived in his basement.
Right.
And that whole song, hanging out on a corner and was it Tucson, Arizona? That was a Jackson Brown song. He couldn't come up with the opening lyrics, and Glenn Frey could hear him playing it over and over and over above, and finally wrote the opening of the song. Jackson Brown gave it to him, became one of the Eagles' biggest hits. Don't know why I have room for that kind of stuff.
It's a cool story.
That four-hour Eagles documentary, and since Glenn Frey died, for sure, is just the most honest, introspective. I mean, they don't hold any punches. I mean, about themselves, about everyone else. You know, I mean, it's if you really wanted people to be introspective about an incredible career and the ups and downs, that was it. You know, every time you see something about Beatles, it's almost worship-like. You know what I mean? It's a little, they almost don't seem human. The Eagles were a big deal. All right. And by the way, a lot of their success happened because of radio accidentally. When they quit, and everybody forgets that they quit and then got back together, but when they quit, their music was being played because people went to that classic rock format, which was a brand new radio format. So the Eagles were on the air those 3 or 4 years more than when they were together. So the public really never, you know, I mean, there wasn't a breakup. And so when they came back, it was just right back to normal.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think about those kind of stories. Nick and I were talking about you the other day. And
oh, no.
Well, in regards to the Diamonds and Desserts event, which is tomorrow night. And, you know, I saw the email and you'd shared that picture with me as a young Girl Scout. And, you know, you talked about that first aid badge. And I asked Nick, you know, where would our community be if that Girl Scout leader or whoever it was that inspired you to get into Girl Scouts and then you found that one particular badge area and not only changed your life, but changed the life of the entire community that we live in.
Oh,
and what would have
question.
Happened if that hadn't happened?
Well, I'd like to think there's a whole lot of really wonderful nurses in this community that would step in.
Not going to do that. Not going to do that.
Work.
Not going to allow you to do that. You'll do that tomorrow night, I know. But I mean, I think about things like that in life. And you know, some people will, you know, put religious aspects to it. Some people use the word epiphany. Some people use, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can describe it. But there are moments in life that set a trajectory for people that you just don't realize it until all those years later that could have been a completely different story.
You're correct. And I think that I figured that out as an emergency room nurse because it seems like so many times when you land yourself in the ER, it's one of those moments that changes your life. And I just sort of remember sitting back, seeing situation after situation and realizing what a gift it is to be a nurse and to be a part of those moments. And you can make them better or you can not. You can be neutral or you can certainly make them worse.
Yeah.
And it's really has always seemed like such a privilege to be able to be a part of it and make
it
better.
But someone's responsible for that. Who was it? I mean, how did you get to be in the, I mean, was it your family? Was it an outside force? Was it the, you know, I mean, how did you end up in that Girl Scout troop?
The Girl Scout troop was just me needing to find something to do. I wasn't a sporty kid.
Yeah.
I landed in show choir in high school, but prior to that.
No kidding.
I was a swing station. I'm
sorry. God.
I can do that.
I want pictures.
I have pictures of really big hair. But the thing about it is I wasn't sporty. I couldn't find my place.
Yeah.
And so several flyers came home for this Girl Scout troop. And so my mom just said, why don't you do this? And I did. And I remember feeling like it was this group of girls who were all different groups. So there were sporty kids, there were smart kids, there were, you know, quiet kids. And all these girls came together. And for that time each week, we were a group and we were a troop and we learned together and we saw we were so much more alike than different. And I just remember that about it. I remember, you know, school seemed, I never seemed to find my place or my group. And it was in Girl Scouts that I saw that there wasn't, you didn't have to find a group, that you were just like other people. And I sort of had that perspective moving forward. It wasn't important to me to find a group after that.
That's why it still matters.
It does matter.
I tell you, you know, the organizations and the things that do, it just, you know, changes lives. I mean, you know, it's still a lot of hard work for the person to get to where they get. But, I mean, it sets them down a path. I mean, I think about this with the Ag Academy. I think about this stuff that, you know, the joy of thinking 50 years from now, you know, that's still churning out kids with a whole new perspective on life and new chances and then what they might do.
You know, investing in young people is so important. It's why I love to see all of the really cool things happening in our community right now for youth, because those are formative years, and the things that we do when we're young change our paths, change our thinking in really profound ways. And Girl Scouts was part of my story, and I know Boys and Girls Club is a part of a lot of kids' story, and the Ag Academy will be, and
a teacher,
young leaders.
It can be anything.
But it matters, and I think that that's why these kinds of organizations are worth investing in, because you change, you know, your return on investment is big.
Yes. I mean, even if you don't have a heart for it, I mean, just out of selfish reasons, it's the thing to do because
it's
smart.
Really,
all right. So how awkward will tomorrow night be for you?
Incredibly awkward. I had a conversation with Stacy from the Girl Scouts yesterday. She just called me to check in, and I'm like, you know, this is really uncomfortable for me. I'm not looking forward to this for those personal reasons. But yet at the same time, I think it's a really cool opportunity to represent healthcare in a tough time. And I'm grateful that organizations see healthcare as valuable and see the work that people like nurses do.
Yeah, we can nurses and doctors mm-hmm. and front staff. I mean, absolutely. We've got to keep growing the next generation because it's like just like law enforcement. It's been a really tough 18 months for these folks. I mean, tough.
It has.
And I think they've done just an amazing job. So I get to introduce you tomorrow.
I know. I'm so excited about that.
I don't know that I've ever introduced anyone at this. I usually do the emceeing of the event, but somebody else will introduce the new honoree, which is Tanya. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not thinking about that a lot.
Nah.
I like to be a little more natural in those.
You
speak
every
from
day,
the heart.
Exactly. And you every day ad lib as really, really well as your gift and strength, one of the things you bring to the world. So I'm sure it'll be just fine.
No, I'm gonna make you as uncomfortable as I can.
I just appreciate that, Brian.
That's my goal. I want you to visibly, because you know, truly, you mean this, and you'll defer to everyone else, and you'll thank the team and all that. But take a moment to acknowledge Tanya because you deserve it, and I think it's fantastic. And then it's all downhill from this, because now for every year going forward, you just come out and eat free desserts.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah,
I'm excited to be in this club. It's
yes,
a cool group of people.
It is a cool group mm-hmm. of people, and it's a lot of fun. And then you not only get to eat the desserts, it's actually your responsibility to eat the desserts, so you can jump right over even feeling bad about eating the desserts.
Oh, I think it's great. There's no downside to any of this.
There you
go.
It's
Girl Scouts. It's desserts. It's a wonderful evening with wonderful people.
If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you can go to the Girl Scouts website, $75 per person. It's going to be at the Country Club. It's outdoors, which is, mm-hmm. you know, a nice, you know, I wasn't sure how they were going to do that. And outdoors is way better than indoors right now. So I'm looking forward to it. Well deserved.
Thank you.
All right. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Diamond Honorary. Diamond Honorary. Just her. On the stage tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.